What's the matter, city matters? That's what matters. Right now it is 9:31 right here at K1, the one you trust. I'm Tom Davis. Mike Bailey is with us here with a cast of thousands, or at least six.
we've got a booth full, to say the least, huh?
Oh, indeed. It's cozy in here.
It's cozy. We've got people sitting on the back row. We can't even get them all around here, but we've got some good material today, and it took five of us to do it, as it turns out.
Well, there you go.
So typical city crew. We got to have five of us to get anything done. But we got a couple things to talk about, and then I will turn it over to our esteemed guest. But wanted to give everybody an update for anyone who's interested that lives in the Ohio or Harvard or Hazel area. There is an asphalt mill and overlay project going on there. And I know we received a call from a lady who was concerned because she thought that was going to be torn up all winter. And she didn't leave a callback number, so we couldn't get back with her to let her know. But that's not the case. But there are some temperature limitations when we're dealing with asphalt. So we were just kind of having a conversation in here before we started. It's probably 45, 50 degrees it has to be in order to get asphalt down. So there will be some periods there where they're milling it off and preparing it for the asphalt, but they may not be able to lay it down until the temperature warms up. But they'll get all of that done as quickly as they can. Should be a great project once all three of those streets are finished. Should be good for everyone who lives in that neighborhood. But, of course, as with any construction project, it is always an inconvenience when it's going on. Especially if it's your street, but if they don't want their street done, I'll take it over on my street.
So we can always if
any of those people don't want it, they can move it over next to my house. We got Terry's done. I think we got Lisa's done. Keith lives out in the county.
I'm in the county.
I guess I'm the only one that hadn't had my street done out of this room, except for Laura. She's not.
Hey, Mike, I know somebody.
We know somebody. They don't listen to me, Tom. Maybe you can talk to them, see if we can get something done. They don't listen to me. Oh, man. Well, and talking about listening to citizens, the mayor and the city council several weeks ago announced that they would like to meet with any groups of citizens who were interested in meeting with them. And the intent behind this really is to kind of have an informal sort of gathering. The purpose is to talk about the upcoming capital elections. The council will hear, I think we're going to start talking about it with them in January. We anticipate that they'll be calling an election for most likely April. It hasn't been set yet, but most likely there'll be an election in April. So they really wanted to get some input from the citizens on what they wanted to see on that. Mm-hmm. If you're curious what previous capital elections have brought, we've built Frontier Pool with that. We've done the Tower Center. We've done all of our street projects are done through those capital elections, you know, Price Field. So those are the types of projects they'll be talking about. So if citizens have interest in meeting with the mayor or a city council member or all of the above, they should reach out to Elaine Baines at City Hall. It's 918-338-4282. And she'll try to put them in, they'll try to work out a mutual time that everybody can get together. But the idea is really to get together with small groups, you know, 5-10 people. If you have a church group or you have a group of neighbors or somebody who just would like to meet with their council member to talk about this stuff, that's really what they're looking for. So this is a great opportunity both for the city council and for the citizens to get together and have a little dialogue about what they believe our city needs. So this is always a great time when we have these elections coming up. We enjoy it. They're a little stressful trying to get all of the projects together and get agreement between everybody, but it really is exciting because it's a time when we get to see the needs of our city and actually have some resources to meet them, and that's not always the case. Oftentimes we have problems and we don't have resources, so great opportunity. We also have coming up and in the spirit of the season on December 18th, I wanted to get everybody ready, at the History Museum. Santa and Mrs. Claus will be up there, and there will also be some other festivities, and I believe they're going to have a movie that day. So this is a perfect opportunity to bring your kids up there. So that's December 18th from 4 to 5. And all of this information that we've just talked about actually is in City Beat. And so if you're not subscribed to City Beat, it's really easy. You go to cityofbartlesville.org, and on the right side of the page, type in your email address and you'll start getting it. It comes out weekly on Tuesday. It's full of a lot of great information, help you keep track of what's going on with the city of Bartlesville. And because honestly, what we do affects everybody who lives here. So we want to try to keep people as informed as possible. Mm-hmm. And that is, that's our biggest publication. That's one that Kelly Williams has put together since she came to work for the city. And recently we actually launched another publication, and this one's a little more specific and maybe a little bit selfish, honestly. We have started what we're referring to as the Job Line. And this is a special publication that is put together by Kelly Williams and by our human resources. And I have our human resources director here with me, Laura.
Good morning.
Good morning, Laura. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
And this was kind of your baby, you and Kelly, and it. I think we launched our inaugural edition last Thursday or
Friday.
Yep. Okay, goes out Friday. On Friday. So wanted to spend a minute talking about that, and really is a great opportunity for people who are looking for a job.
Absolutely. So in the past, we used the traditional forms of media to post our positions, and so this gives us an opportunity to reach more candidates, and candidates can actually subscribe to Jobline. So then those that want to be informed of city jobs will be able to do so. And this would come out anytime we have a new job posting, and those that subscribe would get an email telling them what the posting is. And of course, we would post it on Facebook as well.
And so we've always used the traditional media and Facebook to some degree. And we'll continue to do all of the things that we've always done. But just like all businesses, we are struggling to reach our candidate pool. As people become more diverse in how they get their information and their news, we wanted to have a way that we could reach people directly who were interested in jobs. And right. I think, how many people did we have sign up this first week? Did you have that ready?
No, we had quite a few sign up because we're starting with zero. So
yeah,
of course,
started with zero. Yeah. And in the first week, I think it had over 100.
We had over 100,
Kelly told us this morning, and had great results from that. Had a lot of people.
Fantastic,
they can actually track whether people open the email or whether they click on links. And mm-hmm. we had a lot of great results
from it. We did. So. I was very pleased with it. So those that want to subscribe, you can do so by going to thecityofbartlesville.org. And then there's a job listing tab. If you click on that, that'll take you to our HR page, and then from there you can subscribe for Jobline.
And if they don't want to go through all of that, just email you or Kelly.
Yep, we can make it happen.
So they can email, what's your email address?
It's ljsanders@cityofbartlesville.org, or you can email hr@cityofbartlesville.org.
And we'll get you added, and if you don't want to do any of those things, you can always call the same number that I gave you earlier. Elaine is the central hub for the city of Bartlesville, so you call 918-338-4282. Elaine Baines can get you set up with that. So anybody who is interested in what kind of jobs the city offers, and it's got good information in there. It talks a little bit about the organization, a little bit about the community. So sometimes we have people from outside of Bartlesville, and we want them to know what kind of community they'd be moving to. So.
Yeah. It talks about our benefits as well, some of the amenities in our benefit package. So we
think we have a great place to work. We just want everyone to be able to know that and, mm-hmm. and for them to be able to see what we offer. I think right now, how many jobs do we have available?
Let's see. We posted four in the job line. So we have the street maintenance worker, we have parks maintenance worker, a museum coordinator, and dispatcher available right now.
So as you can see, we usually have jobs that run the gamut. That's not uncommon. We always have some sort of opening.
Yes,
we've got about 370 positions mm-hmm. in the city. So we almost always have an opening, and they run the gamut from maintenance workers to law enforcement to museums and libraries and planning, accounting, engineering. So mm-hmm. we got a lot of great jobs, and we would hope that anybody who, even if you're not looking now, if you just want to get a continuing list,
right.
We'd hope people would sign up for that. So. We are excited about it. I think that, as I said, that all organizations are struggling to get that candidate pool, and we're really hopeful that this will be a good tool for us.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Laura. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And on that note, one of the guys that's got some jobs listed is Mr. Keith Henry. This is our Public Works Director. He's a frequent flyer on the show, so I'm sure everyone who's listening is familiar with him. Keith, we've got the Thanksgiving holiday coming up, and that always amends everybody's trash routes.
It does. Good morning. Glad to be here.
Good morning.
As you mentioned, it is the holiday season. We'll go to our holiday schedule with the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday. We will collect your trash on Wednesday if your collection day is Thursday. We are working Friday, so if you're normally picked up on Friday, we will still pick you up on Friday. Again, keep in mind the season's coming, so New Year's, Christmas, all those days, if your holiday is actually the trash collection day, it'll be picked up on a Wednesday. So,
and, and it's the Wednesday of the same week. So if you normally picked up on Monday or Tuesday, you'll be picked up later in the week. If you normally picked up on Thursday or Friday, we'll pick you up earlier in the week.
Always Wednesday of that week. Whatever day that falls on, it's always Wednesday that we'll make it up on. And again, we are working Friday, so if your trash collection day is Friday, we will be by Friday to pick it up.
And I'm sure the day after Thanksgiving's fun.
It is. Men. It'll be busy.
So. It will be busy.
And smelly.
Yes, that's true. Lots of food trash that day. And of course, when we get close to Christmas, that's when it gets really exciting for the trash men.
Though, absolutely. So. Busy season for us and our guys out there.
Absolutely. So, and Keith, you've also got a couple other events coming up here.
We do. We've got our annual fall leaf and grass collection coming up. It'll be the week of December the 19th through the 13th, and how that program works is if you'll put your leaf or grass out at the curb in a bag, it can be a clear bag or a dark bag, it doesn't matter. Put those items at the curb. You can have as many bags as you want out there. It does have to be yard waste. We're not collecting trash. It needs to be leaves or grass or sticks. Sticks need to be bundled up into lengths of no more than 4 foot and weighing no more than 50 pounds and wrapped in a bundle. Put them out at the curb with the bags. The guys will be by to pick them up on your normal collection day. So whenever your normal day is for your household refuge, put the bags and the limbs out with that on the same day. It will not be the same truck, more than likely, that picks up your leaf and grass. So if the automated truck comes by and gets your polycart but doesn't get your leaf and grass, don't get excited. We've got a separate truck that'll be coming by following up to collect those items. So again, that's the week of December the 9th through the 13th.
And it's on your regular collection day.
On your regular collection day.
Don't need to do anything special. Put your polycart out, put your lawn and leaf and all of those things out.
You bet.
Just a little ways away from the cart.
Good opportunity. If you've scalped your yard or you've raked your leaves, it's a good opportunity to get rid of all those items. So keep that in mind.
So once again, you have just a clear bag or a black bag. You don't have to have a special city issue bag or anything like that.
No city bags and no city stickers. And we normally, if you use that program, you can purchase a yard waste sticker or a refuge sticker. But at this program, no stickers are required on the bags.
Got it.
Something else we might mention, Public Works out there, it's that time of year. We've had guys out mowing all year, and now we're doing some maintenance work. And you might see the guys around the parks trimming limbs, and we had all that damage from the high winds this spring. We had a lot of tree damage, so the guys are out working on that now in the parks, on the Pathfinder. We'll be doing, again, tree work around the city and in the parks. In the street department, you might have noticed if you drive Bison Road recently, they overlaid from Highway 60 out to the Voice of the Martyrs, which is about to the county line that we maintain. The road's been in really bad repair for years and it needed some work, so the guys just finished that up last week and it worked out really nice and a lot smoother ride than what it used to be.
That is a great project, and that's one of them that ultimately I think that Washington County will improve their section of it, probably to match something that we've got along, it'd be north of Nowata, between Nowata and Tuxedo, something similar to what we've got there. And when they do that, we'll come back and make major improvements to our area. But for right now, we just appreciate you guys getting out and doing that, because it was in a little bit of disrepair, and ours was the only section of the road that really was in bad shape. So I'm glad that we're no longer the one that's keeping down the condition of it. So, but that's a great one. Keith, there's been some information that's shared on Facebook and around the city of Bartlesville about a program called Recyclops, and that's not a city program, but after we had our solid waste survey done, this company contacted us. They are a for-profit business. They're not associated with the city of Bartlesville, but they do recycling for communities of our size. They are trying to get people to sign up for that. If anyone is interested, there was definitely an interest in recycling, but there wasn't necessarily, I wasn't sure what the council was going to do with it, because it was, I think there were 74% of people wanted recycling, but only about 50% were willing to pay for it. So there was a little bit of a disconnect between the two of them. This is an opportunity for anybody who would like to pay for recycling. I think it's $10 a month.
I did talk with a gentleman, I believe his name was Derek from the company, and I believe at the time I talked with him, they had around 230 or 250 people that had already signed up. They're looking for at least 500, I believe, in this area, including Dewey, I think.
Okay, so it's more a regional thing.
I think so, and they want at least 500 customers before they could implement their program. And I think it was even less than 10, the scale that I saw, but it would be a curbside collection. They would go to your house, collect your recyclables, and they would actually transport those goods themselves to Tulsa, to what they call the MRF down there, and they would take the recyclables to be reused.
So it is an option for anyone who is interested in recycling, and again, that group that was willing to pay to have their curbside recycling done. The city of Bartlesville still offers a recycling center, Keith, and it is over. Can you give people directions?
It's at 10th and Virginia, and it's a drop-off center, so you can drive in there. We have containers sitting there that are marked for different recyclables, papers, plastics, and such, and pull into the center, drop the materials off in each marked container.
And we take just about everything but glass.
We don't take glass. There's certain plastics we don't take. Most of the containers, they're labeled with what we will take and right. What we won't take.
So we do provide recycling, but again, at this time, we don't provide a curbside, but there is potentially a curbside option. But if anyone is interested in it, they do need to go to that company's website, and it's recyclops.com, I think is what it is. And they would have to sign up. And once they have enough people, then they'll actually start the service here. So again, that is not something that the city has partnered in. It was just a company that was interested, and we wanted to let anybody know who was interested in paying for curbside recycling that there is an option out there right now.
Absolutely. I encourage them to get on there and sign up. I'd love to see the company grow and the program do well, because we'd love to see them prosper in it.
Absolutely. We would love to see that kind of business running in Bartlesville. So anyway, thanks, Keith. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And we've got two guests left, and they're going to share a topic. We have Terry Lauritsen and Lisa Beeman. They're here to talk about the Tower Center and give an update on that. And there's been this is a project that people are excited about. It's generated a lot of energy and excitement in Bartlesville. And there's in fact, it's generated so much, Lisa, that we've without a whole lot of effort, we've actually been able to raise a significant amount of money towards the project that kind of helped. Kind of helped to ensure that the project is what the design committee had envisioned. So the city council awarded a bid that was within budget. It was within our available amount, which we started out with $1.75 million from a GO bond. The city council awarded a bid that was within our available budget. So we want to make sure everybody understands that the fundraising was for things that were over and above what was included in that base bid. And since that time, Lisa, how much have we raised, and who all have we received money from?
Well, we've been very, very fortunate. I'll kind of give a list of the donors, but the additional money that came in allows us to do some additional elements of design in the Tower Center project that the design committee had identified as important. And so these are the things that we're doing with this donated money. So we're the recipient of $250,000 from Lyon Foundation. That was our largest donation, and we're very thankful for that. Actually, that will help us do the performance stage that is a center focus of the project. We received $100,000 each from ConocoPhillips and Phillips 66, $50,000 from the Parsons Foundation.
I think Parsons was actually
$60,000. Yep. That's right, $60,000. And then we received $20,000 from Leadership Bartlesville and the Young Professionals of Bartlesville that will be used to put outdoor musical instruments in the space. We also received $10,000 from Arves Foundation and Ascension St. John Jane Phillips. And we also received $5,000 from American Heritage Bank and the Jim Curd family. And so these additional funds, I think, come to about 500 and...
So we actually, $551,000,
I think. $551,000, yes. That's why you're the accountant. $551,000.
I'm glad I'm useful for something here.
And as the money has come in, my colleague Terry Lauritsen, who's the detail guy in our wonderful team. I'm the one with the pie in the sky, rose-colored glasses, and he figures out how to build it. So he has been able to, as donated funds have come in, he's been able to work with the design committee and identified specifically what elements can be added back in to the project using these donated funds. And so things are coming together very nicely. And I think Terry can give us an update on the construction and where we are with it.
Well, thank you, Lisa. It's always nice to work with somebody with the pie in the sky to likes to change things on the fly, and that really works well with construction contracts and such. But
engineers and people like that, they really truly enjoy that, don't they, Lisa?
It does.
It's been our experience in meetings is that he's really receptive to these things.
It's just the details. That's right. Yeah, when that vein starts popping on my head, then that's I just need a minute to kind of calm myself down, get the heart rate right. Yeah. But construction is ongoing. Weather has obviously played a big part in construction in that we've lost about a third of our days to weather, rain, cold temperatures, what have you. So progress has been a little bit slower than what we had hoped, but they're still making good progress on the site thus far. So really the focus of the project currently is the buildings and the stage or the performing arts center or performing stage through there. So they have basically the foundations for all those components in place. They're starting on the block work to go up on the two buildings that will flank the stage. And so this week they're planning on pouring the foundation for the slab for the two buildings. And then once we get that poured and it cures, then we'll be able to start moving up with the building and the facilities that accompany that. So right now there's not much progress that you can see on the surface. We've done a lot of the perimeter sidewalks where we can. That doesn't kind of paint us in a corner to help other amenities that need to go into this site. But once we start seeing the buildings go up, progress will be very noticeable kind of in a short term. So right now, a lot of the focus has just been the underground work that's associated with the project. A lot of landscaping, a lot of electrical for lighting that's been going in. So we're kind of getting all the prep things put together, and hopefully here in the next few weeks, we'll have that substantially completed so we can start really doing a lot of the sidewalks and the amenities that the people will see on the surface.
And the so we're dealing with Bermuda grass, I think. So mm-hmm. As far as people's expectations, when do we think that it will be substantially complete? We're aiming for early next calendar year, right?
Yeah, we're kind of tracking right now for end of January, early February, substantial completion date. A lot of the landscaping, as far as the plants and some trees, as well as the grass, can be planted this time of year. The only thing is we just have to keep it watered to ensure that it doesn't dry out and die because of a winter kill type of thing. But a lot of the landscaping can be planted and will be planted by the substantial completion date. There are going to be a few plants that are more susceptible to colder weather that we'll have to hold off until the spring or until temperatures warm up sufficiently to plant those. But right now we're tracking and hopeful that we can hit that late January, early February substantial completion date.
But with the vast majority of this essentially being grass, we expect that it won't be lush and green until probably almost June.
It will. I mean, yeah, it's dormant. The grass will be dormant, so it'll be brown, just like everybody's lawn is right
now.
That's right. But they'll plant that, and there's always at least about two or three cuttings before the grass becomes established. And then usually about a season for it to really kind of fill in and to get smooth as people kind of expect, as we all expect the lawn areas to be there. So there's always a growth period, especially when you're dealing with landscaping and grass, to help get that all rooted in and to make sure that it's all kind of filling in and getting smooth and nice that I think we expect and as the citizens expect when they approve the project.
So this will be a great project. Again, substantial completion early next year, but in reality, to have it in the condition that we anticipate that it will be in from that point forward, it'll be probably early summer before we really see it in its full glory that was envisioned. So it is exciting. Unfortunately, the weather has not cooperated. We're a little behind where we'd hoped we'd be, but ultimately that's one thing we definitely do not control is the weather.
Yeah, it is. And I think this has been one of the wettest seasons that we've had in record or on record. So it's just been a challenge, but the contractors have been working well and really been doing work whenever the weather will facilitate it, whether that's a weekend or working later in the day just to help to kind of make hay when the sun's shining type of thing.
I think you got about 3 days this week. Hopefully we can get the entire thing completed in 3 days. That's all right. The good weather we're promised.
They'll get after it, but we'll kind of see how it progresses. But we've been pleased with the progress. They've worked really hard. A lot of coordination. There's seven trades that are associated with the project. So there's a lot of coordination between electricians, irrigation guys, building guys, concrete guys. So it's been it's been a good task, really, to help kind of organize all those folks and keep them on the ready so when weather does allow us to move forward, that they're moving forward as expeditiously as they can.
Well, and one of the other elements, Lisa, that's kind of, it's something that was always envisioned, but didn't have funding until council allocated, I think about 3 weeks ago, the council actually allocated some funding for the water feature. And it's intended to be an interactive water feature, kind of as you walk in near the gateway to the park, mm-hmm. I think. And the committee sort of had a vision for how that would come about, and essentially not just us creating a design and doing it the way we normally do, where we design and go out for bid and take the low bid. The committee had an idea for a competition that would create something a little more artistically. It would fit more in with the in keeping of the park.
Exactly, because this the Tower Center really is intended to be kind of an overall community performing visual and literal arts space in the community. The development, or the design, I guess I should say, of the water feature will be done through a competition, an art competition. So you will end up having an interactive water feature that is also an art installation. So it will be something where you will have kind of like the natural draw for a splash pad for interactive features with kids and adults. But it also will be a work of public art that, even when it's not operating as, you know, with kids playing in it or whatever, it will still be a piece of public art that is beautiful and thought-provoking. And so it will fit in with the overall theme of what the Tower Center is for us. So that competition will be something that the design committee will make. They'll actually put together the qualifications and what they're looking for, and then we'll put those out to a competitive process through the Oklahoma Art in Public Places program, through the Oklahoma Arts Council and other avenues to try to have a competition and see which design comes out best.
And ultimately, there's $150,000 allocated for this, and that's not a prize for the winning artist.
No, that's to pay for it.
That's to pay for the installation of it. So there'll be a competition to determine who can come up with the best design, as far as the committee believes, and then that will have to fit within that $150,000 budget.
That's so right.
It's a little different than we normally do business, but right. I think it's an appropriate way to go about selecting this project, especially given the artistic nature of the Tower Center. So.
And this was done previously. I think it was done. The library had a competition like this back in the early 1990s. And so this would be similar to that, but we're very excited that it will give us, you know, an opportunity to actually have a piece of public art.
So when do we expect that the committee will actually roll this out for the public?
Well, we hope to have a meeting this week or next week with the design committee to start looking at the criteria that we're looking for. So I would say that by the time it gets out, probably the first of the year, we'll be looking at construction of that will be sometime next fall.
So good news is it kind of fits in with our project schedule, but it will not
later.
Be ready in the spring as
right.
the rest of the space will. But yeah. Again, pretty exciting, something that we're very hopeful will result in a great addition to the park.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun, and there will be a committee that will pick the final winner and recommend it to the council.
All right. Well, thank you, Lisa and Terry and Keith and Laura. I appreciate you all coming on today and sharing your expertise with the citizens of Bartlesville. And Tom, as always, thank you for hosting us.
All right.
And happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville, K227 CQ Bartlesville.